what would happen, do you think, if America truly became bilingual?
That's not a disaster. Several nice, prosperous, democratic countries like Canada and Belgium and Switzerland have more than one language, but it will be a big change for us, and it can pose rather serious problems, particularly in terms of generating a reaction against the advantages Spanish speakers will have in our society. Employers, government agencies, others increasingly want people who are bilingual so they can deal with Spanish speakers as well as English speakers. And this gives them a significant advantage in jobs and opportunities and so forth. And people who are only competent in English feel discriminated against.
I don't need to tell you that this book has sparked a great deal of controversy and a lot of very negative criticism. If I can sum it up, the implication of much of this criticism is that your concept that the Anglo-Protestant culture is being challenged by Hispanic culture is somehow reflecting a xenophobia, even racism on your part.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, and you know, when people have to resort to terms like that, it's just a sign they can't make any decent arguments, so they engage in name-calling.
I think the problem here, in part, is that your identity as a descendant of the Founding Fathers makes your argument seem self-serving. It has the appearance of a conflict of interest.
Well, I don't know exactly what the conflict of interest.
You are speaking for a culture, an Anglo-Protestant culture that, in your view, originated with the founders.
Yeah, right.
And you would like to see that maintained if America is to be America.
Yeah.
That is your culture. That is important to you.
Yeah, but that's the culture that has been important to tens of millions of Americans, including tens of millions of immigrants throughout our history. Now, as I say, I think it was a product of the British Protestant settlers who came in the 17th and 18th century and who were, among other things, deeply religious. They established this culture, and there's a fairly extensive sociological literature on the significance of founding cultures and how they persist in various societies. And that is what we have had here up until the present. I'm not saying it's good or bad or whatever, but that, it seems to me, has been the fact.
One of your critics is Alan Wolfe, a public intellectual professor at Boston College, religion professor. In a review, he calls you Patrick Buchanan with footnotes. My question to you is, why are you getting this criticism?
Because he can't think of anything else to say, and so it's name-calling. If he wants to make an intelligent argument, I've read many writings by Alan Wolfe, and many of them are very sensible, intelligent, thoughtful. I may or may not agree with them, but I can't complain about what he's trying to argue. I think going out and using phrases like Patrick Buchanan with footnote, that just goes beyond the pale. It's not scholarly. It's just name calling.
So you don't care for Patrick Buchanan?
Well, Patrick Buchanan has a negative image in most scholarly and intellectual journalistic circles. And so when he says it's Patrick Buchanan with footnotes, he's saying Huntington is providing stuff to support this nefarious character, Buchanan. That's what he's saying.
Are you concerned that this will cloud your legacy, this critical response to your book?
No, I don't think about that.